Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Usually Advent begins the Sunday after Thanksgiving. It doesn't this year. The calendar's a little different this year. So this is not yet the Advent season. Still the Thanksgiving season. And yet, as I always try to take advantage of the seasons of the year to think about what to preach, as well as going through verse by verse. And I thought about this passage, and I thought this is an appropriate passage for this time of year, especially in light of Black Friday and everybody's rush to get the best deal on something. And now we have one event after another as we think about giving and all the opportunities for special giving this time of year. This passage teaches us about what Jesus thinks about giving. So give your attention to the Word of God, four verses from the end of Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Father, we pray for your blessing upon this reading of your word. We pray for our understanding of it and its application to our lives, that we may be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus who taught us this lesson. We pray in his name. Amen. Again, the context of this passage is at the end of a long series of disputes that Jesus has been having with the religious leaders. They all started at the beginning of his public ministry when he began speaking with authority that he was the fulfillment of the prophecies of Scripture of the Messiah who would come. He brought them to a head after 3.5 years of public ministry by entering Jerusalem. And when he comes down the Mount of Olives, the first place he goes is the temple that he is presently in. And he is angry with what he sees on that Passover week. The place that was designated for sacrifices for the worship of God was polluted by money changers who had turned the temple into a place to do business rather than to worship God and to allow people to come and pray and serve him. And so he provoked the religious establishment by overturning their business. And so each one in turn began to come to him to try to trap him, to try to question his authority. And so again and again they come and they fail. In this account, we have Jesus in the temple. At the entrance of the temple, there were large containers that were there to receive people's offerings. And he takes a seat opposite the treasury and begins to observe how people are giving. And he observes that there are many rich people who give large gifts. And he doesn't condemn them for that. And it's very important to observe. He doesn't condemn the wealthy for what they're giving. Now we in Northwest Arkansas are used to hearing of incredible benevolences by wealthy people. I can't help but think of Bernice Jones of the Jones trucking industry, who was a widow who gave that enormous sum of money for the Jones Center. And what a blessing that has been to the whole community. And the most recent example was the Walton Foundation, which gave almost $1 billion to build the Crystal Bridges Art Museum. And if you've been up there, and you can see what $1 billion will contribute to the community, it's truly an amazing thing. And so we have some examples of famous philanthropy in our area that we can look at, and the blessing that large gifts bring, certainly in the church, that is true. And so Jesus is not condemning the wealthy for their giving. He's simply making an observation. And that is what we come to here. When we read the Word of God, we are to take it personally, because it is God's personal word to us. God is speaking to us directly when we open His Word and we humble ourselves before it, when we hear it read aloud and when we hear it expounded and when we sit in our private devotions. We should understand that it is a personal word to us. The first application I'd like to make from this passage is that Jesus observes our giving. He comes and He sits opposite the treasury boxes. Some scholars say that there were at least 3, maybe 4 boxes there as people came into the temple worship. And they were each designated for a certain offering. There was one box that was designated for the sacrifices. And people could make their offering to the sacrifice for the sacrifices in the temple. There was another box that was there just for the purchase of incense. If you read about the temple worship, you know that there was supposed to be incense burning continually. And that incense was not, it was very expensive. It wasn't the stuff that you go down to the mall and buy at one of those strange stores down there that smells really bad. This was very, very expensive incense that was to show how the prayers of the people would rise up to God and to be a fragrant aroma before Him. So you could contribute to that aspect of worship. Another box was strictly for the poor, for the relief of those who were in need. And so Jesus comes and He sits there to watch. Well, that's something that I can never do. I know some churches, it's a custom of the pastor to oversee finances and to be directly involved in that, and I'm not going to judge that, but that's something that I have never felt comfortable with. One of the reasons I don't feel comfortable with it, because I think it's between a person and the Lord. And the church government that we have, we appoint deacons to oversee that work, and the elders to oversee their work. And so it's an important aspect of our worship today. But the spiritual truth, however giving is accomplished, and I think there's just looking at that practice, our practice of making sure that gifts are given to the objects that they are contributed to, that's in our Constitution, is a sound one. I think it comes from Scripture. As long as it's done in a way that honors the Lord and done properly, it mirrors the giving here. But the main application, however giving is accomplished, is for us to understand that the Lord Jesus sees and observes our giving. This passage clearly teaches us that we are accountable to Him for how and what we give, and how He observes and how He judges our hearts when we give. The principle of giving is a fundamental kingdom principle. And the truth of spiritual giving is the more we give, whether it's financially or of ourselves, of our time, our resources, our lives, the more we give, the more we receive. That's a kingdom principle. And it's modeled. Even if it, I've noticed if you even read secular writings on personal finance, all of them say that one of the keys to personal finances is giving. And it's a kingdom principle that's true regardless of who practices it. That's why we see those famous examples all around us. Jesus teaches us specific things about his giving. Number one, I think he teaches that the temple is to be the primary source of giving. There's not a temple in Jerusalem anymore. It was destroyed in AD 70. But the scriptures make very clear where that temple is today. It's the church. It's the church body gathered locally. It's the church body extended. It's not just Covenant Church. It's the church that exists wherever Christ is honored and exalted. But those ministries of giving are to take place in his church. Paul says this. One place you can really see it easily is if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Two places. 3 verse 19. Actually, verse 16, he's speaking to the church, that don't you know that you were God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 6, verse 19, you can see it. Do you not know that your body, and this is individual's body, but I think it's broader application to the body of Christ, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God. You are not your own. And then over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 23, again, it talks about the church being the temple. Notice that this widow didn't go out and try to do her own private benevolence, but she entrusted the temple worship. Even when it wasn't very credible, she entrusted the temple worship to give her contribution to the object to which it is contributed. Again, that is a spiritual principle. I think our giving in our church tries to mirror that. We have different things that you can give to the general fund and worship of the church. You can give to Faith Promise for World Missions, and you can know that everything that you by faith and trust the Lord to give to missions is going to go to that. You can give to help specific objects of people who are poor and needy, ministries like the Crisis Pregnancy Center, Loving Choices. You can give to those kinds of ministries. This Christmas season, there's always opportunities to give to special ministries. Lee House has a tree there, which if you buy an ornament, you can know that every those ornaments that are made by AIDS orphans in Africa, that money that you would purchase one of those ornaments on the tree would go directly to that ministry. Those are opportunities for giving that we seek to put before people. And this Christmas season, you always have special opportunities to give. And I think it mirrors the practice in the temple. Every year we have opportunities to give to those who are poor and needy in our own community. That's what this woman was doing. She was putting her offering toward the poor and needy when she had nothing herself. And that is the second application under this point, that no matter what our circumstances are, whether we are poor or whether we are well off, we are called to give. A widow is one of the most vulnerable people in the world, in any generation, particularly in the first century culture that this widow lived in. Without her husband, she had no financial means, she had no protection. We're not told that she has any children to provide for her. It is a person in a very dire and difficult situation. Orphans and widows are special objects of God's care and compassion in the Bible. We see that right away in the book of Acts when the first diaconate that's established is established in order to take care of widows. And so we see it doesn't matter what our means are. We are to remember those who God calls us to care for financially. Then third, we see how Jesus measures our giving. The rich brought what might be considered large sums in contrast to this poor woman. Again, Jesus does not condemn them for what they bring. He is not condemning those who are bringing large gifts. But he is showing us how he measures all of our giving. Not by the amount, but by our heart. And how is that measured? By what we keep for ourselves. If you study about giving, and when sermons like this come about, I look at the principles of giving, and there's a group called the Barna Research Group that researches this sort of thing thoroughly, and what they've discovered is over half of the contributions that are given to churches are given by the poorest one half of incomes in the church, which is an amazing statistic. And what they've also discovered it is those who are very wealthy and those who are on the opposite end who give the most. That's another interesting statistic, percentage-wise. Often we don't teach and understand stewardship properly. I think of a ministry like Loving Choices, which I love and this church loves. But the director, Jan Hickson, of that ministry, they minister women in crisis pregnancies, has told me that we give more than any church to that ministry. That's very disappointing to me because I didn't think we gave very much to them percentage-wise. And to attend a program recently where they emphasized giving to that ministry, I was very disappointed in the way that had to be presented, and yet I was overwhelmed with incredible response. You may have seen it in yesterday's paper. Nearly $700,000 were given to that ministry. I thought it was wonderful that so much was given, but as I sat and listened to the presentation, I was very uncomfortable of how it was done. I was taken aback by the way it was done, because I don't think it's a biblical way to manipulate people to give. And I think that's what Jesus is teaching here. Giving is a matter of the heart. Giving is a matter of the condition of the heart. The rich were giving impressive sums of money, and Jesus wasn't condemning them for what they gave. But what he says he is most impressed with is the heart. This woman gave the most famous contribution that was ever given, more famous than Helen Walton's contribution for Crystal Bridges and Bernice Hunt's contribution to the Jones Center, more than any contribution than you'll ever hear about. You'll hear about this poor woman for all ages because she gave from the heart and she gave everything. And that's the final point. Giving everything. It is about giving all to Jesus. Financial stewardship is a deep spiritual heart issue. I think the institution of Black Friday after the institution of Thanksgiving is the most heart-revealing thing I've ever seen in terms of the life of our nation. And there's nothing wrong with going out and finding a deal on Black Friday. I'm not condemning that in the least. But the condition of the heart is what it reveals. What are we trusting in? Where is our faith? Where is our hope? This poor widow knew that her hope was in God and what He provided. She knew that the only reasonable response to God's grace and forgiveness was to give everything she had to God. Do we understand that? The Apostle Paul, who was the greatest minister of all time after the person of Christ, who gave us most of the New Testament, the Lord used him, the Holy Spirit used him to write down the very words of God in so much of the Bible. He said he knew how to abound financially. He knew how to suffer. We think of his ministry and we think of how glorious it was. He traveled all the known world preaching the gospel through danger, through trials, through so many tribulations. Think about how he ended his life. Did he end it rich and prosperous with a great retirement plan? Some of you may have been to Rome. Seen the hole that he ended his life in. I understand it's just a little carved out hole in the ground which was a jail. In the book of 2 Timothy, we learned he's freezing to death at the end of his life. According to tradition, he was soon to be beheaded after being there. He's telling Timothy, please bring his cloak because he's cold in a hole. He's alone. Even his best friend has deserted him and left him there. But he knows in the midst of that he has everything. He knows that he has the glory of heaven forever, that nothing in this world can take it away from him. He knows the truth which the Holy Spirit gave him to write in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, after those first 11 chapters of Romans where he expounds the doctrines of grace and sovereign grace and unconditional election based on God's sovereign choice and his love for his people in Christ from all eternity. He talks about what is the only reasonable response to such love. Chapter 12, verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as living sacrifices on the altar of God, which is your reasonable, your only reasonable or spiritual response to what God has done for you, giving all, like this poor widow, is our only reasonable response to what God, through Christ, has done for us. As a thank you. As a thank you to God for what He's done. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this famous example of giving. The most famous giving and example in all the world was a poor widow who gave just a few cents, 2 cents, two half pennies to make a penny, less than a few dollars in today's money. Father, she gave it all. And the Lord Jesus commends her above all who have ever given. Father, help us to be mindful of that truth as we enter into this giving season, as we think about all that has been done for us. Help us to be attentive and mindful of the opportunities we have to give all as she has done. Father, thank you for this time of worship, this gathering. Again, hear our prayers. hear the cry of our heart, that we would present ourselves to you and give all as she has done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.